We now have a majority of women serving on our state's highest court, on the Supreme Court of Missouri. That means we have 4 out of the 7 judges being females. It's something that I never thought I would see in my professional career. I think back to when I started practicing law back in the mid-80s. Many times I was the only woman in the courtroom, or the only woman at the table, or the only woman in the room. And it was just very unusual to see very many women anywhere in litigation, even in the practice of law. And you certainly didn't see women on the bench. So it was something that I've over time watched the number of women joining our ranks on the bench at the various levels, at our trial courts, at our courts of appeals. It's been slow, but I really have to say I never, ever thought I would see a majority of women on our courts. So it's almost emotional for me to be the Chief Justice at this time. And I think it's just so important for our state to see our court be a reflection of the population that we serve. You know, courts should look like the citizens of our state, and with the majority of our population in Missouri being over 50% female, why shouldn't our Supreme Court be represented by that an equal percentage too?
Justice Russell, you are now the first woman to serve as Chief Justice twice. What's changed for you, I think, since the last time you were Chief Justice?
Well, the biggest change for us, and probably for every industry and every person in this world, is technology. The technology has been changing so fast. The tools that we use to do our job, the tools that we use to communicate the work we do, continue to change at a rapid pace. The computers on my desk, I have 2 screens on my desk now where I used to have 1 screen. I read all of my briefs on an iPad. I take the iPad to the bench with me and have my notes and can review the briefs as the attorneys are arguing to me. There's just been so many new things coming on the horizon too. Now we've got issues with artificial intelligence to figure out and to try to harness. There's so many good things about AI and how it can help the practice of law and the delivery of legal services. But also there's a lot of scary parts that can be abused. And so we're studying that now. The makeup of who our judges are is also ever changing, as we just talked about the number of females not only being a majority in our court, but the number of female judges overall in the state is much higher. The number of people of different origins, different ethnic groups is different. Our courts are becoming, as I said earlier, more reflective of the citizens we serve. I think that just makes a stronger court when you have people of diverse personal as well as professional backgrounds. People from different professional experiences, whether they've been big firm attorneys or they've been prosecutors or public defenders or legal service attorneys or corporate lawyers. We have a wide variety of people from different practice areas now serving on our bench.
And those are the folks that you mentioned in your most recent column, your first column back as Chief Justice to the public from the bench. And the first one, timely, is giving thanks to those at the heart of our court system. What are the challenges there and why it's been a particularly challenging couple of years?
Well, we all are coming into our post-COVID lives and are adjusting to all of the implications that COVID had on us, and adjusting to using some of the lessons we've learned from COVID and how we can deliver justice and how we can administer the courts more efficiently. There's a lot of demands on our court staff. And one of the things that I'm doing during my 2 years as Chief Justice is visiting every circuit in the state, of which there are 46, not every county, but every circuit. Some circuits contained multiple counties. But my purpose is to go into the courthouses, to see the court staff eyeball to eyeball, to tell them thank you, that we appreciate what they do on the front line of our court system. They're the face of the court. They're our heroes. They're the people that hear the stories and the troubles of individuals every single day, whether it's, you know, a woman coming in to get an order of protection and she's scared for her life and trying to support her children, or it's a grandparent coming in trying to get guardianship of their grandchild because their grandchild's parents are no longer able to take care of the children. There's a lot of heart-wrenching stories, and those are just some of the tip of the iceberg. You've got, you know, criminal stories, and you've got stories of heinous crimes and things that really have an impact on those folks that hear this firsthand and see this firsthand, this real-life drama playing out every day in our courtrooms. They're underpaid. They're overworked. We ask more of them. We ask them to learn new technology all the time. Put new responsibilities on them. Certain constitutional amendment was passed that requires them to expunge criminal records for those with marijuana convictions. That was required by Amendment 3 that the voters passed. That's an extra duty they have to do. But my purpose is to go in and thank them, to listen to them, and to learn what we in Jefferson City or what we at the Supreme Court of Missouri can do to make their lives easier and make their jobs easier. I don't invite any media. I'm not running for office. It's just me and sometimes another staff person coming in. And everyone has been so appreciative and so kind. And I've learned a lot. I've enjoyed it. And I've gotten to visit parts of the state. I've only had 10 stops so far, 10 visits. Got 36 more to go. And I will be able to continue on that pace of 2 a month. But for someone who grew up on a dairy farm in Northeast Missouri, we didn't get to travel very far. These places are a long way from Hannibal, and I am just very fortunate now to be able to have the opportunity to visit all these wonderful, beautiful spots throughout Missouri.
We agree. So the folks who are listening to this are going to be in those circuits that you're visiting. You're listening to Show Me Today, The Voice of Missouri. I'm Ashley Byrd, and pleased to be joined here by Chief Justice Mary Russell in her term leading the highest court in the state. I do think I've heard before that you have done some visiting across the state, that you actually, in the past, were an undercover judge. Is that...
guilty.
You did that, huh?
I did that. The last time I was Chief Justice, I thought the best way for me to be able to see if the public was being served well was to pose as an undercover survey taker. So dressed in the clothes that I wear to Walmart on a Saturday with my hair in a ponytail and no makeup, and a survey monkey in my hand, and some other staff people, we would go to various courthouses around the state, and we would all go to a different door in the courthouse. So as people were exiting, we would ask them to answer a few questions for us on how their experience was that day in the courthouse. So it was mostly access questions, such as, did you have trouble finding the courtroom? Did the judge listen to you? Did you understand what the judge told you to do? Did the judge listen to both sides? Did you feel like the judge was being fair? Did you have trouble finding a parking space? You know, just various access questions. And we asked everybody leaving the courthouse, whether they were a litigant, whether they were a lawyer, whether they were someone in an orange jumpsuit, whether they were a social worker coming to testify, or, you know, another expert witness or a neighbor, you know, whoever was using the court that day, about their experiences. And that was very instructive for me, because actually you've got to remember, it's been about 20 plus years since I was a courtroom lawyer, since I represented people and was in a courtroom on a daily basis, arguing cases in front of a judge and representing people whether it be a small business or a mother or a father or whatever the litigation matter was, I haven't been in the courtroom for a while, so I've kind of forgotten. I'm a little stale on how people feel and what the emotions are. And it was such a good experience because I'd sit out in the hallway on the bench and I could feel, you know, the worry that people had sitting next to me, the apprehension. It was their first time there. They didn't know what to expect. And this was a place where a strange person could maybe decide their fate as far as their freedom or as far as how much money they were going to have to pay somebody or whether or not they were going to get their kids for the holidays. And, you know, I worried for them. It was scary. I learned a few things. I asked one woman one day in the hallway if she was a party to the lawsuit going on in the courtroom. And she said, "Party? I don't know about you, but it ain't no party in there." I learned not to use fancy words.
I know that you address and make recommendations to the legislature. Are you able to affect much change as a Chief Justice?
Well, you know, a lot of the change that I'm looking for is things that we can do internally, structurally, in how the courts are operated. But then I do pick up on some things once in a while, and I do invite legislators. So if I'm going to be in a particular district, I will let the legislator, senator and representative from that area know that I will be in their area on their turf just as a courtesy. And that if they have time and are interested, they're welcome to tour the court with me. And I've been pleased with the number of legislators that have been able to come and go behind the scenes with me and talk to the court employees, the juvenile workers, you know, the bailiffs, the court reporters, the clerks, you know, administrators and other staff, and to hear firsthand what some of their struggles and issues are. One thing that we've picked up along the way is several of the clerks who are in charge of juries. The clerk from Reynolds County the other day told me that it was insulting the amount of mileage reimbursement that prospective jurors were paid. Our state statute sets the minimum compensation for jurors' mileage at 7 cents a mile. And this particular clerk said it's just an insult to jurors. And you go back and check the statute, and that's the minimum. Any county can choose to pay more. Many counties, probably for financial reasons, can only pay 7 cents a mile. But anybody else that works in the court, if they have to travel, gets the state mileage reimbursement rate, which is probably around 50-some-odd cents a mile. So, you know, that's one thing that could be changed by the legislature. You know, they write the laws. I certainly don't. I imagine most legislators have no idea that it's that low.
What else do you want folks to know about this effort?
Well, and I'm not there to do a white glove test. I everyone is doing their job well, as far as I know. We would have heard about it otherwise. But I guess what else my goal is, I just want people to be appreciative and thankful for our court employees who are sometimes, you know, overlooked or faceless or taken for granted. You know, with machines and computers, people don't realize, you know, the public may not realize there's actually real people working, you know, behind the computer or the website or the screenshot that you're seeing if you're looking at CaseNet. But there are people with real souls and real, that really care about the work they do.
Thank you for updating us on what's happening in the highest court in Missouri and under your leadership. Chief Justice Mary Russell, thanks for being with us on Show Me Today, The Voice of Missouri.
Thank you, Ashley.